Welcome to Pardes Daily, where you get your daily dose of Torah with Pardes faculty. This month, Pardes is bringing Elul to you. Let's dive in.
Hello, everyone. This is Tzvi Hirschfield. I'm in my home in Alon Shvut, and today we are starting from the very bottom of Lamud Amud Aleph, 30a in Tractate Rosh Hashanah, where we are continuing our discussion of the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in our Mishnah, who made an enactment that the entire day of the 16th of Nisan is prohibited in the consumption of the new grain. So just a reminder, the new grain is prohibited biblically until the Omer offering is brought on the day of the 16th of Nisan, the first day of Chol Moed of Pesach. Without the Omer offering, then the morning of the 16th, as soon as the sun began to rise on the 16th, in principle, biblically, the food would be permitted. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai extended the prohibition of Chadash, of the new grain, all the way to the end of that day, on the concern the temple will be rebuilt, either the night of the 16th, the day of the 16th, so the Omer offering will be delayed, and people will simply revert to the practice before the temple was rebuilt and start eating the Chadash in the morning, not realizing or not remembering they have to wait until the Omer is brought. So therefore, to avoid that problem, he decreed that one could only begin eating the new grain on the night of the 17th, the end of the 16th day of Nisan. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai kashita Rav Yehuda amara. In this case, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak is saying Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai was actually following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, which is what? De'amar ad etzem hayom hazeh ad atzmo shel yom v'kasavar ad v'ad bichlal. Rabbi Yehuda said until the very essence of that day, referring to the prohibition of the new grain, and he held up until means including the up until date, meaning, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the entire day of the 16th was prohibited biblically. And the only reason people could eat Chadash earlier is because if once the Omer offering was brought, that allowed the new grain. But the absence of the Omer offering, the entire day of the 16th would be prohibited biblically. Umi savarla kavate? Does Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai really agree with them? But we know explicitly that they argued on one another. Ditznan, as we know from a Tanitic source, Mishachara Beit HaMikdash Hidkin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Shiyom Nev Kulo Asur, that from the time the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made an enactment that the entire day of the 16th, the new grain would be prohibited. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, V'halo min HaTorah Hu Asur. And Rabbi Yehuda disagreed and said, you don't need an enactment for that. Without the Omer offering, the new grain would be prohibited the entire day of the 16th. So this seems to suggest that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabbi Yehuda disagree fundamentally on the biblical law, with Rabbi Yehuda thinking you had to wait to the end of the day of the 16th, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai thinking the morning of the 16th was already sufficient to eat the new grain. Hatam Rabbi Yehuda hu dekatai. No, it's not they disagreed. Rabbi Yehuda was mistaken. Ihu sav Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai midrabanan ka'amar velohi midoraita ka'amar. Rabbi Yehuda assumed that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was speaking rabbinically, that the entire day was prohibited through takana, through rabbinic enactment, and that's not the case. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was simply teaching the biblical law. Vaha hitkin katani, but wait, the Mishnah uses the language of hitkin. He made a takana. He made a rabbinic enactment that the entire day are prohibited. So now the Gemara resolves that problem by saying, my hitkin, darash v'hitkin. What does it mean he made a rabbinic enactment? He made a drasha. He learned out that the entire day of the 16th was prohibited, and then he established that as the law for the entire people. So his prohibition of the entire day of the 16th is not a rabbinic stringency, but rather it is a promulgation of his understanding of the biblical law that without the Omer offering during the day, one would have to wait the entire day of the 16th, really until the night of the 17th, in order to begin eating of the new grain. And now we're going to continue in the Mishnah with other examples of takanot of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Originally, they used to accept, and this is referring to on Rosh Hashanah, they would accept the witness is coming the entire day, which would mean, as we know, that the new moon was declared, the new month was declared when witnesses would come and say that they saw the new moon. In theory, that could mean that witnesses could come right before sundown, their testimony could be accepted, and it turns out that day happened to have been Rosh Chodesh. We only know it now because the Beit Din declared it, but since the witnesses came and testified on that day before sundown, that day now turns out to be not day 30 of the old month, but day 1 of the new month. And that's what they used to do. However, Pam achat nishtahu ha'edim milavo, v'nid kalkalu ha'levi'im bashir. It happened, however, that the witnesses were delayed in coming, and Levi'im made a mistake in the Shir Shel Yom. What this means is that on each day when the sacrifices were brought, the Levi'im used to sing a chapter from Tehillim typically, but not only, as we'll see later on, that was accompanying the sacrifice. And in this instance, because the witnesses came so late in the day, and presumably the afternoon offering had already been offered, as a result, the Levites sang the song for the regular weekday instead of singing the appropriate song for Yom Tov, for Rosh Hashanah. So because of that, hitkinu shlo yu mekablin ela ad hamincha. Therefore, they made a takana that the witnesses could only come up until 9.5 hours, according to most opinions, of the day, which is about 2.5 halachic hours before sundown. Thus, meaning that there was still time to offer the afternoon sacrifices and also to then one would offer the afternoon sacrifice with the proper song, because you would know it was Rosh Hashanah. The imbau edim min hamincha ulamala, and if the witnesses came after the 9.5 hours time, but before sunset, nohagin oto hayom kodesh ulamachar kodesh. Then what they would do is they would finish off the rest of that day in sanctity, meaning on the 29th, on the 30th day of the month, they would always treat it as Rosh Hashanah. They would desist from labor and treat it with sanctity on the assumption that the new moon and thus Rosh Hashanah, which is also Rosh Chodesh, would be declared. But if the Edom did not come by 9.5 halachic hours of the day, they would finish off that day in sanctity and then pronounce Rosh Hashanah the following day, thereby giving you 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. However, after the temple was destroyed, and thus there was no problem with the sacrifices of Musaf or getting the song right to accompany the sacrifice, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai reverted back to the original and said, we will now accept witnesses all the way up until sundown. And because there was no problem with sacrifices or the song of the day, because there was no more temple. I should emphasize, even though the Mishnah focuses on getting the song correct, the Rambam emphasizes the real problem is that they wouldn't have time to do the Musaf, the additional offerings for Rosh Hashanah, and that was the more central problem. There is a Tosfot who asks the question, but if they've already offered the afternoon sacrifice, there is a halacha brought up in Tractate Pesachim that says that once the Ben Arbayim, the mid-afternoon sacrifice, has been offered, one cannot offer any more sacrifices on the altar. So he says, so how could they offer the Musaf offerings after that? So he says they could offer them because the idea of an Aseh Derabin, because offering the Musaf sacrifices is a positive commandment on the entire people of Israel, that overcomes the prohibition of making sure that the afternoon Ben Arbaim, the regular afternoon sacrifice, is the last sacrifice of the day. And now the Gemara continues. My kilkul, kilkulu halavim bashir. What problem or defect did the Mishnah mean when it said that the Levi'im did not get the shir correctly? Hacha targimu. Here is how it was understood. Meaning, I believe, in Bavel. Shelo amru shira kol ikar. That they did not say any shira at all. Because they weren't sure at the time of the afternoon sacrifice whether or not witnesses would still come, they therefore didn't say any Shira. They didn't say the weekday one, and they didn't say the Rosh Hashanah one because they didn't know what to do. Rabbi Zera Amar Shamru Shira Shalchol Im Tamid Shal Ben Arbaim. Nope, that's not what happened. But rather, they said the weekday song, the weekday psalm with the afternoon sacrifice, and then the witnesses come, and thus mit barer, it turns out they said the wrong shir because they should have said the song for Rosh Hashanah. Amarlo Rabbi Zera la Ahava Barei. Rabbi Zera said to Ahava, it's a lovely name, his son, Polk Tnei Lahu, go and teach the following Breita, which is going to prove my point. Hitkinu shlo yu mekablin edut ha-chodesh ela kadeshe shehut bayom lakriv timidin umusafi v'niskehem. V'lomar shira shlo b'shibush. They made a takana that they would not accept the witnesses unless there was time to offer the afternoon sacrifices and the Musaf sacrifices and all their libations, and so they would not say a mistaken Shira. E Amra Bishlama Amur Shira Dechol, if you say that when the witnesses hadn't come, they would just say the weekday song for the afternoon sacrifice, Hainu Deika Shibush. That's the Shibush, that's the mistake that the Breita is referring to. But if you say they didn't say anything, that the kilkul, the mistake, or the bad element was that they didn't say any shira at all with the afternoon sacrifice, my shibush ika. Then what shibush? What mistake was it? They didn't do a mistake. This didn't say it. The answer Gemara brings, kevan delamur klal en lecha shibush gadol mizeh. Are you kidding? The Gemara says, since they skipped saying a shira entirely, they didn't say any kind of song, that is the very definition of shibush. That is the very addition of a mistake. Mati Rav Acha Bar Huna. Rav Acha Bar Huna now wants to ask another question on this opinion that they did not say any shira at all. Tamid Shel Rosh Hashanah, the morning offering, right? In the temple, there was a tamid, a regular sacrifice, offered both in the morning and the mid-afternoon. That's called the Korban Tamid. On Shabbat and Chagim, there would also be the Musaf, these additional sacrifices that were offered. And now this Breita is going through what was done or said. Tamid Shel Rosh Hashanah, Shachri Karev Kilchato. On the morning of Rosh Hashanah, you would offer the morning sacrifice in its normal way, and you would say the regular Shir Shel Chol, Rashi says. You would say the Shir Shel Yom, the regular, so if Rosh Hashanah was Tuesday, then you would offer the Tuesday morning sacrifice with the regular song for Tuesdays. And we'll see on the next page what those different songs were, which we call today the Shir Shel Yom. But Musaf, the Breita continues, Mahu Omer, what would he say? Harninu Lelohim Uzenu Hariu Lelohe Yaakov. Right, rejoice or call out to God our strength. Call out Hariu, which meant to draw or blow to the God of Jacob. Right, because that, the blowing there, is seen to be a reference of shofar, and therefore that is the psalm that would be said for the afternoon Musaf offering for the Rosh Hashanah, when the Musaf libations, the wine offerings, were poured, because the song always accompanied the wine libations. But Mincha Mahu Omer, what did he say at Mincha time, the Bein Arbayim, the afternoon sacrifice? Kol Hashem Yachil Midbar. Again, Kol Hashem, voice, trying to sort of reference, right, the blowing of the shofar, making it relevant in Tehillim Chaf Tet 29, making it relevant for Rosh Hashanah, and also therefore not saying the same song, singing the same chapter that you sang for the Musaf offerings. Uvizman shechal Rosh Hashanah liot b'chamishi b'shabbat, shashira shlo harninu l'Elohim uzenu. However, the Breita goes on, when Rosh Hashanah fell out on a Thursday, and here we have a problem, because the Thursday regular song of the day was the same as the one you would sing for Rosh Hashanah. They're both Harninu L'Elohim Uzenu. So now what are you going to do? Lo haya omer v'shachrit Harninu, mipnei shechozer v'kofelet aperek. In that case, they would not say at Shachrit, the regular psalm for Thursday. They wouldn't sing that because you're going to repeat that later on for Musaf. Elamahu Omer Hasirote Misevel Shichmo. We would recite Psalm 81, which talks about removing us from bondage because according to the Drash, Yosef got out of prison on Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, you would avoid repeating at Musaf what you said at the Shir Shel Yom for Shachrit. The im bau edim achar tamid shel shachar. And what would happen if the edim, the witnesses, would come after the morning offering? Omer Harninu Afalpi Shechozer V'Kofelet Aperek. Well, then in that case, what you would do is you would repeat Harninu at Musaf, even though you're doubling up. Because since the Edim hadn't come yet, it was just a regular Thursday morning. It had not been declared Rosh Chodesh. It had not been declared Rosh Hashanah. In that instance, then, the Levites would recite the psalm of the day with the morning, regular morning weekday sacrifice, which was indeed Harninu Lelohim Uzenu. And then when the witnesses came later, and it turns out that day was Rosh Hashanah, they would then repeat that chapter again for the Musaf. Now comes the question. If I say anytime they had a doubt that they would do the regular weekday psalm, that's why you'd end up in a situation where they would say it and they would double it, right? Because since they had a doubt, maybe today is Rosh Hashanah. Even so, at Shacharit, they would cite Harninu because it's Thursday. And in Musaf, they'd end up doubling it because it also turned out to be Rosh Hashanah, and that's the psalm for Rosh Hashanah. So that's what you would say for Musaf. However, if you suggest that every time that there is a doubt, they don't say anything, then why is it say they doubled up? Meaning, since today is the 30th of the month, and in the morning there's already a safek, there's a doubt, maybe today will turn out to be Rosh Hashanah. Then in a case of doubt, why did they say the morning psalm for the week for Thursday morning? Because of doubt. If your opinion is whenever they're in doubt, they don't say anything, and that should apply here as well. Answer, Shani Hatam Deshira Diomehi. No, that's not the case, because that was the Thursday morning song, which means that not all doubts are the same. If I have a doubt about whether or not today is Rosh Hashanah, and that doubt leads me to not say anything at Mincha time, the same logic should apply to Shacharit. But the Gemara is saying no. At Shacharit, on a regular Thursday, I would say this is the Harninu is the right psalm to say for Thursday. My only doubt, my only safek, is I might end up having to double it up at for the Musaf that might happen. And the suffix of whether I have to double it up is not the same problem. And therefore, I could rule to recite the normal weekday psalm for in the morning, and yet still choose, if it's the afternoon, the witnesses have not come, to not say anything because of a doubt of whether today is Yom Tov or not. The doubt of whether today is Yom Tov or not is a different doubt than worrying about whether, if I say the one I'm supposed to say on any Thursday, even if it's Rosh Hashanah, well, that creates a doubt of, well, I have to double up at Musaf. That's already a separate problem. Thank you for joining me. We will continue next time.
Thank you to our Pardes faculty, and thank you to you, our learners. Make sure to check back in at the beginning of each week to stay on track with your Elul learning, and visit www.pardes.org.il for more information about Pardes and our programs.